spoke about the idea of a shaila last week, where a question sets the place for the answer to come in. It's sort of a link. Let's say it's like when you have a hook and a chain, or a hook and like in the parash we have lulois and karsulim. The question provides the place for the link up to take place in. If the child doesn't ask the question, then the father can't say anything. So the question has to come from the child. The child, capacity, or the desire to understand or to want to know, is coming from the child. And now the father can link up. Now there's room for the father to link up with the child.
Is this something about the,
what?
Is that the father can't pass over what he has to say, or the son can't hear what he has to say?
It will not. The son will not link up. He will not link up with the father unless the question came from the son and the father's providing an answer. It's like when you glue something, if this, both surfaces are very smooth, it won't glue together. You need, you scrape it so that there's rough edges, so the glue has what to fill. It attaches like a male and female, you know, a plug or a peg in a hole, anything like that. So it's the child, there's no way in which you can get the question, you have to get the child to ask the question. Yeah.
What is this new in the child? Like, said, is this new?
Yeah, this is the starting point. This is always, Pesach is the beginning point. The beginning always is, has to be the initiative of the child somewhere. It has to be for the child to start. Once he's linked up, once he's hooked up, then you can keep pumping. There's no reason. Once you have once you forge the link with him, then you can go on weiter.
There's something here that's different from the second answer, the second reason. The first reason, how is that different from the second reason?
No, the first reason was one reason was that since it's the beginning, the first point is always starting within the child. It's chachos, is always, it's the child bringing out in him his search, his yearning, his question. The second point is that for the father to link up, for the father to be able to say anything to the child, it's besides the quality of the child that we want to see the element of chiddush in the child. It's the father can only relate to the child if the child opens up. If there's no opening from the child, there's no way in which the father can relate to him. It's useless. The first point is a maila. It's much more. We see that Klal Yisrael has been reborn by the fact that the child within himself shows that he's interested in whatever it is. The second point is, practically speaking, unless the person opens up with a question, you don't have where to come in with an answer. If as a parallel to it, if you take a look at Avraham Avinu's. His process of linking up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have that same process. It says, the Rambam describes that Avraham Avinu kept asking, Klum, this world is going around without a Bayrei, Klum, Yesh Biro, Baliba Labayas. The only thing that he had was not a definite knowledge, but a quest. Could it be that this world doesn't have a manik? Avraham never on his own said there is a manik. He said this world is lacking. The only thing, there's a gap here for a manik in the world. Hitzitz olav balabira. Avraham's initiative wasn't that Avraham recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own. It's Avraham recognized that there must be an HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He recognized, before he recognized the element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he recognized that there must be an HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gap came before the... So the same way in which Avraham's beginning was question and HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplying the answer, the only way, or else you're just a puppet, or else what you're saying is not really part of you. It's outside information being passed on. When you say to yourself, there must be a Bayre, now the Bayre Olam's appearance is meaningful. This is the same idea, the Te'ovin for the Matzahs. We have a din that you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach because a person should eat the matzah with appetite. The appetite is the cheshek. In other words, the matzah is not coming on top of a full stomach. There's an emptiness in the stomach that's waiting to be filled, and now the mitzvah is coming and filling it. It's you provide within yourself the place for it to be chal, and now you have. And now you have the thing, the mitzvah coming and filling it. Always, the start is always within the person must make the first move. Once Avraham Avinu made the first move, so now we're already, we already are more susceptible to it. On Pesach night, where we try to redo the brachos of Klal Yisrael, we ask a question, and then we have the child, the child asks the question, and we fill it for him.
Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he speaks to God, it wasn't the contrary, no? Hashem.
Also, if you take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu, the first point was HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared. That's true, because once we had it with Avram already, the first step. But it says something very interesting. If you take a look in the Pasuk, it doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared. We want to get a chumash. Okay, I'm sitting. No, Shmois. You have Shmois there? Okay. It says like this. Adrav, you see, by Bilam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood right in front of his donkey. And until he wasn't faced head on with it, Bilam didn't particularly relate to it. By the snare, it says Faket. It says, I'm going to go out of my way. The Akadosh Baruch Hu provided he was at psachlay. Akadosh Baruch Hu gave him something to be astonished about. But until he didn't ask madua lo yivrasne, vayar Hashem kisor lirois, Hashem saw that he moved out of his way to look at it. There would never be a mokaim. There would never be a gilui unless there was a room for him. I think I told you about the Kotzke. I spoke a few weeks ago about they once asked a Kotzke chassid, asked somebody, different chassid, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be found? So he told him, he's all over. So he said, no, in Kotz they taught us, wherever you open up a door to let him in. There has to be. It says. I mean, this is. You find this in dozen places. Pischuli Pesach shel machat. Open up to me a hole as big as a needle. Vani yeftach lachem Pesach that even wagons can go through. The idea is, you know, if you're trying to drill through solid steel or through anything solid, you can never get anywhere. Once there's a hole there, now you have leverage to go much further than that. So until there's no Pesach, a person's avoda is always in creating a Pesach, in creating a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in asking a question, in Madu Aleyasur, or Kolum Yesh Balabira. Now you can link up. Afterwards, it can all be with Sivui, but it always has to be with a quest first.
How could this come when you're supposed to ask the question even if the child doesn't ask?
No, you're supposed to get him so that he asks.
No, but if there's no child,
okay,
you're supposed to ask the question.
Yeah, you're supposed to arouse the question within yourself. You have to ask it as a question.
But you have to, it's an avoda. You have to arouse it. You can't just like...
Halachically, you're yaitzeh with saying the words. Like everything else. Just like the lulav is supposed to bring simcha. Right. You could be holding the lulav and thinking about the grocery bill and you don't have much simcha. But the form of the mitzvah is to ask, it's not to say it, but to ask it as a question. Therefore you have the question. Okay, so now you have like this. So therefore, it's not enough when you're teaching something. The methods that you're using is an ancillary part of the teaching. It's technique. Just like it should be well lit the room. I don't know, a lot of air or something. It's not already. These are just how to present the material. If it's coming, if the questions are coming from the children, the Torah says there are four questions. It's not techniques on how to tell Sipi Tzis Mitzrayim. The Torah says there are four basic traits, there are four basic ways in which the child will ask, and so each one of them is a pasha of Ne'atzma. When you're teaching Vishnantam Levanech is one mitzvah. To teach the child this and this parsha. How you teach it is already techniques, like any other mitzvah where you fill in the pratim yourself. Here the pshat is, the mitzvah is each child coming and asking something. This is the way the mitzvah starts. So the Torah tells you there are four children that will come and ask. The Maral explains the four children he explains it one way. There are a lot of different things. I'll just say over. He says there are in other words, the next step has four possibilities. When a person is in one place, is one place. a step can be one of the following, progress can be one of the following methods. Either you slacken, as you keep going, you keep slackening, and the next step is worse than before. That's a sheni de lishol. It's the child, the father had X amount of information, the child has less than that. That is the sheni de lishol. Or the child can keep going with the same, A equals B equals C equals D, and therefore that's a tam. Tam means whole. In other words, what you have, he has. He doesn't go any further than that. He's just continuing. That's a second madrega. A third madrega is where you go further. A chacham is someone who goes further. It says, ten lechacham v'yosef oid. When you give something to a chacham, the chacham doesn't keep it. The chacham brings out, he extrapolates from it and brings out what's hidden in it. So a chacham goes a step further than that. Or, adrabba, the going a step further is a backlash to what was before, and therefore you go back. You take back what you did before. The fact that the person understands further means he can take this knowledge and draw it. A person who's not maritz is not maritz. A person that says who learns Torah, it can become some mavis for him. Because adrabba, any step, when you have a certain amount of dynamic, then the dynamic can be a reversal of what was there before. If it's the same, it's the same. There's no shinui. So therefore, you have Chacham and Rasha represent the sons that are going further. One is going further l'toiv, and one is l'ra. Sorry. Or you have a Tam who goes the same, or Sheni Adilishol, which is petering out. Those are the madregas. There's another way of organizing the Shailas. Interesting. In Torah, you have, in Lashon Kodesh, you have three expressions, three synonyms for a question. You have a shaila, you have a kasha, and you have a tamia. A shaila means where the question is to go a step forward. Meaning, I give you the Gemara says something. The Gemara says a statement, the Mishnah. Ibayalahu. In this case, what will be the halacha? Do we say, so we have the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a principle. We want to know, does this principle apply in this case, in that case? What is the yesodic principle? The question brings out what's within the principle. That's Shaila. Akasha, it's interesting that in English you have only one way of saying it. A question is a question. In Lashon Kodesh, the question has a lot of meanings to it. Akasha means where the question is attacking, it's destroying the hypothesis that you've put forward, or your supposition. That is kasha, and that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says there's a kashi, means there's a problem with it. So that question is a question aimed at breaking down that which you've presented. So that is the Rasha. The Rasha is asking a kasha. A tam, what does a tamiya mean? What's the difference between a kasha and a tamiya? Normally you learn that a tamiya is a very big kasha. But it has to be some sort of what does a very big kasha mean? What's a big kasha and what's a small kasha? It has to be some sort of categorization. Let's say a person who's an engineer. He's an electrical engineer, walks into a room with a big machinery. So he starts asking all sorts of questions. If this is hooked up to here, why hasn't this part burnt out? Why is there no voltage drop over here? And how do you get output from there? You have a certain ability to pinpoint a problem and to work, either Meloshon Kush or Meloshon Shaila. You have you are taking the things apart and working with pieces within the whole. Let's say somebody who never saw electric machinery before walks in. The only thing he asks is, what is this? The word tam means whole, complete. The person does not have the ability to even to take it apart. It's just, what is it? He can only relate to the whole thing. He doesn't have the minimal ability. The tam's kash, the tam shaila is, the chacham asks moha edus hachukim v'mishpatim. He's taken apart the mitzvahs. Edus chukim v'mishpatim are the elementary classification of mitzvahs, and he wants to know how does edus work. The tam's kash is mahu oimem mazois. He doesn't have any ability to ask a person who hasn't had any grip on the material. He hasn't had any, and therefore his answer is a much more general. The Chacham is told the details. He's told, The Tam is told in general. In other words, he can only relate to things the klal of it and not the pratim of it. So you have, and Shein Adishal obviously is out of the parsha of kasha at all. So you have each child expresses a different form of kasha, a different type of kasha has different purposes, different methods, and the Chacham Rashan and the Tam are expressing a different ifanim kashas.
Yeah. The Chacham in the Rosh is the same kind of thing.
Adabah.
No?
Yeah. The Chacham and Rosh are parallel to each other, except that the Rosh is using the ability to understand it
to destroy the Chacham. I mean, both are kashas.
Right. Both are kashas. Yeah. No. The Chacham is a shayla. The Chacham is looking. He wants to know more pratim.
Uh-huh.
You're telling me about Pesach. Why must one eat this? Why must that? He's extending the area of knowledge. He's using question to go a step further. The Rosh is using the question to destroy what's there, to destroy the base. That's the difference between the two. It's whether the kasha is every broadening of halacha is through a kasha, through a shaila. Every erasing of halacha is through a kasha. When the Rosh is kasha, it means that we'll have forgot the halacha. The halacha is gone. Not really. Tufta is like that, but a kasha is a very strong. Usually, we don't pass when the Gemara applies for a kasha.
I mean, obviously, a Chacham could ask Kasha, it just depends
on the motivation. Yeah, but the motivation of his is always Shaila. Because he wants to do it, so he's weeding out what is not proper. The question is the motivation, the general motivation, right? Okay. There's a few more points here on the Shaila. The Rasha is told two things about the Rasha. It says, because he took himself out of the klal, that's why he was koyfe be'ika. The Goyen learns it's two things. It's as if there would be a vav. The mashmos is not like that. The mashmos is that it's two separate nekudas. It's the fish haitzatz munakal, therefore it's koyfe be'ika. Rav Hutton speaks about it in a side point, but using some of his idea, you find a halacha in Korban Pesach that is not found to any other mitzvah that we know of. It's v'chol b'neichel l'yechal boy. You're not allowed to give Korban Pesach not to a goy and not to a mumer, a Jew who's been pyrrhic oil, a Jew who's decided to stop keeping mitzvahs or he becomes a goy. Even though halachically he can't become a goy, but if he's perik ol, you're not allowed to give him a korban pesach. You don't find it by any other mitzvah that a perik ol should have a ptur from it, or an issa. You can give him matzah, and you can certainly give him mar, and you can certainly give him dal kaisis. You just can't you can't drink it afterwards, but you can give him dal kaisis. There's no din in any mitzvah. There is one place where it's a rabban and halachically there's shalos and tshuvas on it. If you ever learn Yevamis about giving chlitza about a mumah, ach mumah, there's a parish about ach mumah, but it's not mikra din. So the point is like this: Klal Yisrael went through two stages. The first thing was the creation of a Klal Yisrael. That was Yetzias Mitzrayim. For the people who left Mitzrayim, Torah was given, and now they became an amud chiyuvim. But the becoming, belonging to Klal Yisrael in the beginning was before Matan Torah. Those people who chose to opt out of Klal Yisrael until Yetzias Mitzrayim could do so, did do so, or were opted out of Klal Yisrael. The people who stayed behind and were killed in Yimei Choshech and so on. These people, the first thing before you had a Matan Torah, which gave everybody, and before you had the Geirus of Matan Torah, the Geirus of Klal Yisrael at that time is between Matan Torah and Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says there was the Zrikas Dam by Matan Torah was the Zrikas Dam of Korban Geirus. Logically, that's the way it's learned up from. But the formation, you had a two-stage, you had first came a Sheikhus first came Klal Yisrael, and on top of that, you now got Torah. This is the Klal Yisrael Raven Zela Zayav HaHalacha, where once Torah is given, Klal Yisrael is one unit. That's it. It's been frozen as one unit and as Jews Be'achreyach. When we're dealing in Pesach, which is the yontiv of the beginning of Klal Yisrael, formation of Klal Yisrael, someone who is not, who has chosen to opt out of Klal Yisrael, is mufka from the mitzvahs. He himself is chayev avada, and avada he'll get an oinish for it afterwards. But Klal Yisrael does not include carbon. Pesach is a carbon that it's to the best of knowledge, it's the only mitzvah where the Torah said it should be for a base av, it should be for a family to count in people as a group. You know, in at Pesach, the first chalos on Klal Yisrael was Klal Yisrael.
It's as if it was become a Torah.
Right, the tzura, the mitzvah, we don't have, in other words, the person is certainly even aver for not being, it's one of the averes they'll be taver him for. But the tzura, which the mitzvah is given, it's given as a mitzvah where if you're not part of the klal, you're not shaykh to the mitzvah. A mumer is someone who's opted out of Klal Yisrael. If you've opted out of Klal Yisrael, then you have no part in Korban Pesach. Klal Yisrael does not keep you in his Pesach. Klal Yisrael cannot give you any of its Pesach. Yeah.
Well, how can it be that he's not? I mean, he's not. He's hired to tweet from the Korban Pesach, but he's not take part of it. Like,
put it this way: practically speaking, if this person is still a mumer, then he's not interested in taking part of it.
Yeah.
If he's interested, obviously he's not a mumer anymore. But we, as long as there's a mumer, we're not allowed to give him. We can't tell him eat a little Pesach. You'll see how wonderful it is. How wonderful Yiddishkeit. You could do it with the matzah, the mara, and everything else, not with Korban Pesach. So the pshat is fakir. So it's mamash good pshat. Ulefi shehoytis atzim mina klal kofa. It's his cutting off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu came about. Klal Yisrael as a whole in Mitzrayim was Shaku and Avodah Zarah. They did not recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically. Maybe on a very, very, some people in Klal Yisrael, or Klal Yisrael on a very, very deep Nekuda, but generally, it's only, the only thing they had was they were part of Klal Yisrael, they recognized them as part of Klal Yisrael, Leishinu Hashemam, Es Levusham, Es Hashaynam, and then there came a Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this Klal Yisrael. For the person who's Moitzi Asma from Klal Yisrael, who's Mafki himself from Klal Yisrael, so that's why it's Kafa Be'ikar. It's one place where Shem Yisrael came before Shem Hashem, and for the person who's Mafki himself, and that's why, it's because he says Ma Avodah Zarah Lachem that he doesn't say Hashem's name at all. It's the fear comes as a result of not being shaykh to Klal Yisrael. That is the point. One more. Okay, so that's the Russia here has a unique marker. There's a unique place for the Russia at Pesach. Because you see, a mumer, in other words, the ultimate in Russia has a special halacha in Korban Pesach, and here we say the fish is atzmena kol kafa beikar. Just one more point about the expression, and therefore we say ilu hoya sham lo hoya nigal. You would have been one of those people that wouldn't have been part of Klal Yisrael. You're only here because there's been a gula already, but you never would have gone into those people. You're not part of Klal Yisrael from Bereishis. You know, you don't belong to the Klal Yisrael before Pesach. You're only here because now that once Torah is given you, you're by force part of Klal Yisrael. That's the way which we relate to the Russia. Just one more expression I wanted to speak about. It says after hake eshinov, break his teeth. It's a strange it's an expression. You know, what's that? Break his teeth. What does hake eshinov mean? There's another place, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Shine Rishoyim Shibarta. You have broken the teeth of Rishoyim. Shine Rishoyim Shibarta, you have broken the teeth of Rishoyim. Oig Melech HaBoshen, it says, is someone who, that he died because Moshe Rabbeinu put the mountain on him and he broke his teeth. Like it says, Shine Rishoyim Shibarta. It's a strange idea. What when we speak about breaking the teeth of a Russia, what do we mean when we speak about breaking his teeth? So there's it's a very deep in you. I don't want to go into it. Just something. You see the expression. Just this idea that expressions in Chazal are each word is picked. Ra, we know that bad left by itself will disintegrate. Ra. In itself has no chiyus. By definition, it's something that is lifeless. It's like let a murderers live amongst themselves and they'll kill each other out. It's ra by definition self-destructive. The only way in which ra has a kiyum is because it's mixed in with the toiv and it draws from toiv. It's every false idea has a lot of good points that keep it going. There's always a If the person saying that people came from monkeys would act like animals, they would not have a kiyum for a long time. It's because the person happens to be nice and intelligent, and there's a lot of toy. It's always in expression, in more vivid expression, it's called that there's a unique, feeding on. A unique is more than feeding. It's like when you're nursing or when you're drawing liquid. Like this intravenous link up between toiv and ra. Ra always preys on toiv to some extent. When you break his teeth means you make him, you cut his lifeline to the outside source. He can't take any food anymore and make use of it. You've cut his link between the ra left by itself. As long as the rush is sitting and eating from Korban Pesach, he's also part of Klal Yisrael. When you break his teeth, in other words, they're not giving him to eat, means if you tell him you're not actually the way you are now, you're not part of Klal Yisrael, then it's, if you consider him part of Klal Yisrael and look at him as in the way he is now, not in potential, the way he's now part of Klal Yisrael, if you legitimize him, so to speak, then his ra keeps going. Right, it's for his tikkun. Then it's when he recognizes that his chiyus comes from outside and not from inside. That's when he's avad. It's your son. You have a chiyuv. But as Russia, we're telling him, as much as you're Russia, we're telling him hakeh eshinov. You have no schus kiyum the way you are now. You're not part of Klal Yisrael. Your schus kiyum is only because you're a parasite on Klal Yisrael's back.
We do the total opposite on Sukkos. Now we join everybody.
Sukkos, you even have the goyim. Sukkos is different. Pesach is where Klal Yisrael drew its unique. Sukkos is always the end of the cycle. Sukkos is where Klal Yisrael is able to take in even outsiders and make them part of. It's a classical kumimisak in the world, but that's the end of this cycle. It's at the beginning. Pesach is the beginning, and it's only Klal Yisrael, and only people who are. If Cholben Nechol Lo Yechol Boy, and on Sukkah it says Mitfurish that Goyim are the mitzvah Goyim will be given a Sukkah. Sukkah is totally inclusive. There's a lach of Korban Pesach. If you're not counted in to start with, you can't eat from the Korban Pesach, because if you're not part of it, then you have no chelik in it. It's only the people who are nimna on it that have a chelik in the.
What's the definition of a bra?
Okay. We saw yesterday the Dalet Bonim. Now, Yochum Rosh Chodesh. It says Yochum Rosh Chodesh, Talmud Leima Bayemahu. I would have a Havamina that you start saying Hakodim Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Leima Bayemahu. It's a very, there's a shaila here. Mechatesa, I would think, why would I think that Rosh Chodesh would be the time when you start Haggadah? Mapetom, what's Yochum Rosh Chodesh? So, in Pshat it's very shver. I mean, in Pasha Pshat it's very shver to understand. Why would I have him in Rosh Chodesh? The Pasuk says, Bavur Zeh. I mean, the Pasha is talking about Pesach. Why would I think you start Dashi from Rosh Chodesh? The Moral says in the answer, in other words, Alpi Ashkof, Alpi Harmoka. But again, in Pshat, the cash remains. I don't have a teres fit. But the morale answers the following. Since we said before that Geula is something which is a beginning of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael starts with Geula. And then it goes on further. So therefore, the time, that's why it's on the. That's why most appropriately it's on the first day. That's when Rosh Chodesh, it's in the first month. The Nisan is the month chosen for Gula because it's the first month. Therefore, I would think the most appropriate day should be Rosh Chodesh. If you're looking for Rishon, if you're looking for beginning, then Rosh Chodesh is the right time for it. So therefore, there's a habit in the Yochum Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Leima Vayemahu. Okay, that's one point. Next, it says, I Vayemahu Yochum Vayemahu. Talmud Leima Bavur Zeh. So now there's another Havamina, Yochum Ibayd Yoim. I would think that you say it in Ibayd Yoim. So Yens is Bavur Zeh Lo Yamartel B'shosh Yesh Matzah Morim Munachim Lefanecha. It's very interesting. The Goyen says that Bayoim Ahu is very good because Vigata Levincha says Bayoim Ahu. The parish itself mentions the Bayoim Ahu over here. So the Havamina would be that it would be Taka B'yoyim, Talmud Leima, since you need Matzah Mor, that's why you can't do it till at night, till night afterwards. But what's interesting is that the Goyen says here that this is now a teretz to the Kash of Manishtan. We asked before, how come the night of Pesach is not really a night? It's Lashon Zohar, It has mitzvahs which no night has. So the Goyen says, you see the Torah calls it Bayom Ahu. You see that the Torah calls this night, the Torah calls it Bayom Ahu. So since the Torah calls it Bayom Ahu, it's appropriate that we see that the Torah was Kairos Shem, that it's a Yom and not a Laila. That's the, so he says this is a teretz for it's a marker for that which we saw before. Okay. Next, now we start dashing the gnai of the ruchnis of Klal Yisrael. That ruchnis.
We're holding this. It says that even though every person, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have taken us out of Mitzrayim, each one of us would be meshubet to parim Mitzrayim, and therefore even if we're chachomim, nevoinim, and skenim, and all know the Torah, we still have to be mesapeh yitzias Mitzrayim. V'cholamar v'lasapeh yitzias Mitzrayim reizim meshubo. So the question is, what's the connection between? It's three statements. And they don't seem to follow very closely. The first statement says that without the Geula, each one of us would still be in Mitzrayim. The second statement is, therefore, even if we're very smart, which we still have to tell about Yetzias Mitzrayim. I mean, where is that coming from? Why would I think someone smart doesn't have to tell about Yetzias Mitzrayim? And the fact that the person himself would still be in the Golos, that's a reason why he should. I would have a Havamina, and what's the sense of the Haggadah? I would have a Havamina that even if we're smart, we don't have to say Haggadah. The Teretz is, since we would be in Mitzrayim, Mishubad, then we do have to say Haggadah. I mean, where's the cause and effect over there? And what's V'chol Amar B'al Sapetis Mitzrayim Reizim Mishubach? It's also, therefore, it's a progression. We're saying that even if we'd be knowledgeable, we have to be Sapetis Mitzrayim. Therefore, Kol Amarba is Meshubach. It doesn't seem to be the focal point that brings all the pieces together. So like this, we spoke about this in Lenin Hilchas Deis, just briefly. It says a person should always, it says like this, Siag Lechach Meshtika. A person should always keep his Chachma with as much Shtika as possible. And therefore it says, even divrei chachma, v'chein b'divrei Torah chachma, you divrei adam me'atim v'nyanei merubim. What the person says should be less, and the content should be a lot. It should less words and more content. That's what Chazal said, that a person should teach his talmidim derech k'tzara. So the question is, so the first thing is we see some aspect of the perspective of the two together. That if a person is a chacham, even if a chacham, nevoinim, and skenim, there still is an inyan of ribui diburim. There still is, we should still talk a lot. Even though normally, midarech ha-chachma is not to talk a lot, even the divrei chachma, siag le-chachma is a shtika. So there's a contradiction between chachma and dibur. Still, a person should keep his chachma going. Even he should do a lot of talking, even though he's a chacham. Right, but the question is why? Hagufa, why is it that in the Rambam says that the darkei chachma is not to speak, and a person, the less he talks, the more he says, and the less amount of talking, the better he is. And here it's the opposite. It's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? So the pshat's like this. Dibur, let's put it this way. The power, it's a lot of times a person's level of function is divided into three categories. It's called madam, machshavah, dibur, and maisa. A person thinking, a person's capacity, a person's speech capacity, and a person's body. It's not only, I mean, a person has a lot of other capacity. A person has a nose, and he has ears, and he has eyes. There are other functions besides. But the point is, a person lives, let's put it this way, a person, all these three things are not, speech is not just another tool. Saying something is a certain level of, let's call it existence. A person, when he's thinking, has one frame of mind. Speaking produces another, and acting has a much less frame of mind, but it's like gears, it's like three gears. The person goes from level to level. A person who's working is one type of level, a person who's speaking is another. You'll find a lot of times people who have very deep thoughts will have a hard time articulating them. And people who are excellent speakers, you usually feel that the logic is slipshod. Because there's some, because saying it in words, this is the right way to say it. Even though as far as the idea is concerned, it's not quite that idea. A verbal expression is somewhere between the koyach of seichel and the koyach of the guf. Now let's try something. A person uses, the best thing to use the koyach of dibur is conveying chachma to someone else. Chachma, Torah, it's just like when the body serves the mind, then the body has a certain amount of elevation. When speech serves the mind, that's when it has a certain level of elevation. It's everything tries to subordinate itself to that which is above it. So the body works so that it's and feeds itself, takes care of itself, so that the mind be at rest, and the dibur acts as a spokesman for the mind. Which means, if something can be said in 5 words, and the person says it in 10 words, speech is assuming a certain dynamic of its own. It means that talking has a tachlis other than serving machshava. Just like if my body feeds itself, works, feeds itself, and so on and so forth to a degree that is beyond what the mind needs, it means that what I'm doing now is I am serving my body as a purpose rather than as a means. If I need 8 hours of sleep so that my mind functions properly, so if I sleep 8 hours, my body is serving my mind. If I lounge in bed for 10 hours, so bed lounging is an activity in its own. That's obvious. Dibur is also like that. Dibur is something which a person can talk as a means of conveying chachma that he has within him, Torah, or whatever else he needs, to someone else. Or dibur can assume a dynamic of its own. He talks because talking is an activity, like a woman talking on the phone for hours, but just for the sake of talking. The talking itself is, or more than that, sometimes the body expresses itself through speech. When a person wants to, live through an event again, he speaks. Talking, telling a story, makes the person live through the event again. It awakens, the speech awakens within the body a type of reliving of a certain event. Or it flares the imagination. The words can be used to move the body to a certain position. The Gemara says someone who has a problem should speak it out to someone else. If a problem is bothering a person. Again, because the speech over there puts the person at ease, it puts the person at rest. So the reason, so shtika is a siyog to, shtika is a siyog to chachma, and therefore anything that involves chachma and understanding, the less said, the more said and less words, the better it is. The more true it is, and the more of a spokesman for chachma it is. Yetzias Mitzrayim is different. Yetzias Mitzrayim cannot be perceived as a historical event. It cannot be perceived as an event removed from me. The pshat is, it has to be just like if it hurts, I want to talk about it so that it helps me, it eases my pain. The speech in Yetzias Mitzrayim is an expression of a body going out of its own bondage. It's the goof saying, it's the goof telling its story of Shibur and Geula. So therefore, that's the Hemshech. Since we be'etzem would be in Golos, if not for Yetzias Mitzrayim, we don't look at Mitzrayim as an event that happened once upon a time, and to us it's only Divrei Chachma. If for us it would be only Divrei Chachma, the Chachamim and Avinim would do a lot less talking and a lot more thinking about it. The mitzvah, we have to feel as if it is we who have lived through Mitzrayim, because Be'etzem it is we who have it in us. We would be in bondage if not for the Gula even today, and therefore we do a lot of talking. Yeah.
Also, like you're expressing Chokhmah.
Yeah.
Like, surely, like, the more you really make it, the better.
Yeah, but one thing, you detract from the truth of the Chokhmah. For instance, if anytime you have a child, you tell a child something that's theoretical, the child doesn't understand it. So you give him an example. The example always contains elements that are superfluous. When you have a formula, 2x plus 1 equals something, the x is not apples, not oranges, or anything like that. X is the thing. It means anything times 2 plus 1 will equal this, or something. Or the fact that you have to limit it to a certain case, when a kid asks me, I use the word sweet, and you don't know what the word sweet means. So I tell you, it's like honey. It's like sugar, it's like a lollipop. Each mushel is less really than what sweetness is. Sweetness is the whole category of things. And it's an inaccuracy. Sweetness is a property of sugar, but sugar has many properties. It's white. Not everything that's sweet is white. So the more deeper you have, the more the chachma is diluted and distorted.
You have to sometimes give more. Right?
True. So that's why, but the derech ha-chachma, the more you're relating to chachma, people are capable of thinking in very abstract, you know, working with ideas, need many less words to the closer you are to understand anything as it is. It's one of the reasons why, for instance, you have a non-medical person, if you're trying to describe a certain phenomenon to him, so you tell him there's like a tube-like piece with irregularities, and it moves up and down, and there's a hole in the top, there's a little hole squeeze in the bottom. I have to add a lot more words for the person who I've given him precise terms. I tell him, this is the esophagus, this is the intestine, this is valve, that valve. I'm able to concentrate on a certain point without the excess verbiage. But you're gaining the experience, and the point here is we're not talking about chachma, we're talking about experience. The point of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, if Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was chachma, was understanding Torah like the rest of Torah, the chiyuv is to say as little as possible. The idea in Torah is to limit Torah to the precise words. More than the precise words means you're diluting the idea with your wording. In Sipiyat Mitzrayim, it's to bring out within you the feeling of what you really are going through, of being be'etzem mishubet. As far as your metzias is concerned, your mishubet, and that's the it's. So therefore, okay. So one thing at a time. Therefore, since we would be in Mitzrayim, we have to look at Yetzias Mitzrayim not as a historical event or a concept that we have to understand, but something that we have to live through it. And therefore, the more the body is involved in it, and therefore the more speech is involved on the body side of speech, rather than the chachma side of speech, the better it is. The more the purpose of this night is not to understand Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to live through Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the point. So therefore, even for Chachamim and Nevinim and Zkenim and Yedim and Satayra, since it's not a past event, which is only Chachmatas, but it's an event that we should be feeling that we're living through, therefore the mitzvah is Lesaper Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, Kol Amar, but it's the only time to Kol Amar Lesaper Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Meshubach. It's also interesting that the terms, one more Nekuda, just to make it clear, it's Pashit, but we say there are certain things that let me see if I can okay, let's say that I'm an accountant, and I needed protection to get a job somewhere, so I my good uncle, who's the owner of the factory, takes me, gives me the job, and I sit and I do accounting. Fine. A year later, he comes and says to me, you're not working, you're earning, what you're earning is actually me giving you. So I would hotly contest it. I would say, I'm doing accounting. It's true that a year ago, you got me the job. But once I have the job, I'm now an accountant. I'm doing the books. Let's say I don't know the first thing about books. I'm not a person who is fit to be an accountant. Period. I don't have the skills or the mind or whatever it is. Now if I have the job, since the chisaron is within me, then no matter how much studying I do, I wouldn't know accounting. So each day of the job, I'm actually having... It's my uncle who's giving me the job each day. Since we said before, Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim in a way which, naturally speaking, they would never get out of it. That means within the Metzius of Klal Yisrael as themselves, there was no room for Geula. That's true even today. If I were now to be put back into Mitzrayim, I couldn't extricate myself without the extra dimension of being an Am Hashem. It's after Hashem took us out and made us attached to Him that I now, it's like someone who's an American citizen by virtue of being married to an American citizen. It's the pshat is, we, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us alone to our own Metzius when He tossed us into Mitzrayim, and that process led to a situation where we could not get out, period. The fact that now we're out means that even right now it's only because of the shutvis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu still carries with us the bris of going out of Mitzrayim. That is why we are in... So the truth is, even today, our Geula is still... The fact that we're not in Shibud Mitzrayim is because we're still in the same matzav of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But you find my tiskei, it says, Kol Yemei Chayecha. The pshat is, a person has to understand his whole life as being containing with it the element of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Certain elements are gone. We fought the Yevanim and we overcame them to whatever extent we overcame them, and that's the end of that. Today, however, we now have a new Metzius. We've overcome. That's it. We celebrate a past victory. There is no din in Chanukah to keep saying about how we are going out of it. We went out, so we're out. We've got to a point we were able to fight the Yevanim and overcome them. So today we exist post that point. In Mitzrayim, we never got to that point without HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Goyalos. Ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we wouldn't. So even today we exist as Nig Olim, as Geulim, because Hashem is with us. So it goes like this. What?
You said like if Hashem wasn't keeping us out of Mitzrayim, we'd automatically go back in.
Exactly. It's like the difference between surgery where they patch up your heart. So once the surgery is over and the heart heals itself, the surgery is a past event that because of that I'm alive, to someone putting a pacemaker into the heart. The pacemaker is part of me now, and the pshat is, I'm not saying because you once put a pacemaker into me, that's why I'm alive. The pacemaker is part of that metzius. So therefore, since we, as far as ourselves are concerned, if it would take 100,000 years, or you know, it would take 1,000 years and we would get out on our own, means we have the capacity to be out. And HaKadosh Baruch only gave it a kick to be mezarzit. The fact that we had no way of getting out of it, period, no amount of time, means that within us we don't contain the necessary... It's only because we became Am Hashem. But the staying out means we still don't have the property. We never have the property being out of it. It means that today we're out. We're not in a Mitzrayim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... We became Am Hashem. It says the worship. You know, the schus of staying out of Mitzrayim is the schus is the fact that we're part of Am Hashem, that we're in a matzav where we became attached to Hashem. Without that attachment, as far as our nature is concerned, we're part and parcel of Mitzrayim.
So how do we, if Hashem wasn't constantly kind of taking keeping us out of Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
So how do we see that we go back in again?
It would take time, maybe. But once, if we would get schlepped into Mitzrayim, we'd be stuck again. There is no way in which we could, on our own steam today, keep up the geula. We would be temporary geula, but we'd again be in a matzah that if any gullus overcame us, any shibud overcame us, we wouldn't be able to get out. Okay, so that's the link. First of all, since it's without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we couldn't get out. Means it's part of us. Therefore, the mitzvah is not to remember a past event or to understand the past event, but rather to relive it. The koyach and the way in which a person does it is through dibur and sipur and dibur. It's two more points along this. The word, since we spoke about speech taking different forms, speech of chachma or versus speech of a person, sort of the physical level expressing itself, and a physical expression. The word sipur is used, for instance, in the Gemara in Brachos, we use the word a time of the night when Isha misaperes in Bala. When it's a metaphor, it's a euphemism for intimate relationship between husband and wife. The word sipur is used for that. It's when misaperes. When, so therefore you have sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a storytelling that's aimed at involving the person in it rather than relating an event. It's not like Haggadah Eidos, where you're telling the facts. It's when you tell a story, you're trying to get the person to relive it. So that's why sipur is one term used. It also says Pesach is Miloshen Pesach. The mouth speaks. It's when the mouth opened up. Therefore, if the word sicha also says, the Gemara uses it in the same context. It says, Magad la'odah ma'sichoy. They tell a person what his siach is. Siach with a sin is the way the Gemara says. Sin yud ches, sichoy. Afilu, things, intimate things that a person speaks with his wife. Again, it's a type of speech that is an expression of the physical rather than an expression of chachma. Here we have sipur and sicha rather than divrei chachma that have shtika as a maila.
So what does that mean in terms of
the Haggadah? That the purpose of talking is aimed not at relating the event or understanding it. It's not a means for understanding, but rather a means for reliving. It's sipur. Sipur means to tell it in a way which makes the person feel part of that event.
Is it also like you're speaking like as if it's not with Hashem?
No. It's you're relating the event. It's a type of speech sensational. It's the senses. It's a speech where the senses have some sort of feeling for it. Because here the mitzvah is to relive it, and an excess of words means there's more person involved in it. With divrei chachma you want less person and more content. In divrei, in this you want the other way around. Okay, one more thing. They were mesubin in Bnei Brak. They were telling, they were mesapin tzitzim tzayim that whole night until Talmidim came to them and told them, Rabbi Sinai gives my kriyas shashachas. Obviously, this story is coming to support this din of that there's a chiyuv to be marv in sipur rather than be memayit in dvarim. There's just one more interesting point. We spoke about yesterday about the fact that the night of Pesach is different than all other nights. All other nights have no mitzvahs. All other nights are feminine form. The night of Pesach takes on its Laila Hazer. It has mitzvahs, chiyuvim. It's a night where things happen, where geula happen. So the pasuk says, Torer Laila Kayoy, make the night light up like the day. That's the chiyuv. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So with just a little more feeling, a little more. A drop more metaphorically, the Rabbi Seinu was speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim with such they were Mesapet Yitzrayim in such a way that the borderline between the day that they created from that night to the Shachris didn't exist anymore. It wasn't only a little more malicious thing. It wasn't only that they didn't know what time it is. The pshat was they lit up the night like a day. So where is the Shachris? The Talmidim weren't that Madrega. They saw a clear division between the night and the day. These five Tanoim, the Pshat was, the night was a day. So therefore there was no Yetzias Mitzrayim Shachris. So it's more of a melitza, the words are more of a taste than, but that's the Pshat. It became there's another, along the same lines that the word sipur comes from sapir, which means a glowing stone, a shining stone, or a diamond type, a sapphire, a diamond. It's a gem. So they said misaprim. In other words, a gem is seen as something which lights up any place it's in. So they were misaprim. They were lighting up that whole night with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was a okay. We'll hold it here.